When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It is a Bruins Thursday. Mike Bilbrey coming up at 9 this morning on the Boston Bruins. We are going to get to, they said it, at least start, they said it, in a moment. And then the news with Courtney coming up at 7:45. I am auctioning off 4 VIP floor seats for Saturday's Celtics game to benefit the Greg Hill Foundation. Thanks to our friends at McFarland Energy this morning, and the current bid on those 4 tickets is $4,000. So very, very generous bidding so far this morning. But if you want to beat that number, then you could call Jackson, 617-779-7937, and get your bid on, and you will be there, feet on the parquet on Saturday night, and do something to help the beneficiaries of the Greg Hill Foundation. Let's get to this.
It's time for...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me facing. Maybe I'll grill him in the eyes.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, Chime, where do you want to start this morning?
Well, Greg, let's begin with Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo. He spoke yesterday at a press conference, was asked about Alex Van Pelt, the help he has given Gerard Mayo, the impact he has made on this team, and Gerard went, like, completely out on a limb here.
He said the help he's given Gerard Mayo, but also, he's talking about Drake May.
Wait, yeah, so, This is where Gerard Mayo went with that question. Okay.
Yeah, he's been huge. I say, look, there's no one in this organization that deserves more credit as far as what Drake has been able to do on the football field than Alex Van Pelt. You know, when we interviewed Alex, I would say when we interviewed all of the coaches that are here, one of the prerequisites or requirements was a guy who is level-headed and a guy who believes in working together and a guy who doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low, and that's Alex, and I appreciate that.
Well, it looks like Alex will be back next year.
I guess so.
What I say this week? I said I was told he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
He's not.
So, I mean, I would have given some credit, I guess, to getting the opportunity to see Jacoby Brissett and what how he approaches the game week. Mm-hmm. But it really appears that it is all Alex Van Pelt. At least in Gerard Mayo's mind.
So, like, I think there is a strong case to be made that Alex Van Pelt has done a really good job helping Drake understand the offense. But when it comes to Drake's development, like, this is who Drake was when they drafted him. The day they drafted him, this is who he was. But they just held off on playing him because they claimed he needed to work on all these things. Guys like Dan Orlovsky said you couldn't pay him enough money to start him. And Merrill Hodge was saying this is the guy that's going to get people fired. And now he's good. And it's like people set the bar so low that he comes out and he's awesome. And it's like, oh, yeah, Alex Van Pelt has done this amazing job.
So Merrill Hodge, SMU.
Are you comfortable with going into next season with the exact same coaching staff?
I mean,
not really.
For me, I look at the Alex Van Pelt in-game play calling. That's the most important thing. The development part, I think, you know, you should be able to do a good job. Any coach should be able to sit there and look at the film and say, here's where you need to be better at. But the offensive coordinator and I believe defensive coordinators get judged on their in-game play calling. As of right now, what would you give Alex Van Pelt as a grade for his in-game play call with Drake May?
C+. I mean, I
go D+.
I mean,
okay, C+, D+.
I think he's had one good game, which was last weekend in Chicago, and the first game of the season. I thought the game plan was great against the Bengals with Brissett, but Sean, I understand your point about him being the same guy that he was at North Carolina.
Yep.
But you do credit coaches for getting the guy to go up a big step in competition and maintain the ability to play the same way.
Yeah, I totally do. And that's why, like I said, like I think he absolutely deserves credit for the way he's taught Drake the playbook and understanding the offense and how to operate in an NFL offense. Like even Drake, I think yesterday, talked about how he has learned to kind of check out of pass plays and a run plays and different mechanics like that. And I think Alex Van Pelt has had a large hand in that. I just don't know that his play calling is particularly enticing.
Oh, there were weeks where it was down one, run the football, down two, run the football.
Down three, throw a ball out of bounds, punt it away.
Like, I mean, weeks like that. Mm-hmm.
Just a general point about the Patriots. What was the last time the Patriots in a calendar year had four different people start and win as quarterbacks? Drake May, Jacoby Brissett, Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi. Like, right?
Yeah.
That's got to never have happened before.
Yeah, right. All right, what's next, Sean?
Next, let's go over to your Boston Celtics. We've had a discussion, especially after their loss two nights ago now to the Atlanta Hawks, that maybe the Celtics were getting a little complacent. They were kind of going through the motions. It's more of a let's just get to the playoffs and then we'll win type of deal. Well, Jaylen Brown talked about that after the win last night against the Brooklyn Nets.
I think the biggest challenge for us is just continuing to find joy, just being competitive, not going through the motions and stuff like that. Like, complacency starts to set in once you know you're and you feel like you're the better team, and then you just don't do your job. So I think that for us, it's just going to be a mentality all season long, is just to just be aggressive and just take care of business from beginning to end. I think that'll be our biggest challenge.
Well, you brought it up at the start of the show, Wiggy, mm-hmm. and it was Brooklyn, but you were happier with the effort that you got from the Celtics last night.
Yeah.
So you fixed the issues that you had at least the other night against a better team when it came to rebounding and to turnovers and to that stuff.
It's really about Jiu-Jitsu Joe and making sure that their mindset, because you heard Jaylen talking about it, not get complacent, because they know they're going to be the better team pretty much every night. And when they're playing against a bad team, not get into that point where it's like, all right, there's nothing to get us up here. And so,
well, you've been saying it for quite some time. He is the best coach in the NBA.
He certainly is.
By far.
By far he is.
By far.
And so what he has to do, he has to make sure that he stays in their minds and gets them on the point where it says, let's not just take teams lightly just because we wear the Boston Celtics jerseys.
Yeah, the best coach in the NBA.
No,
in
better than Curtis's guy calling timeouts with less than a second left and he has none left in his back pocket.
I haven't said a word.
That was a slight error by Eric Spoelstra the other night.
I don't know why we stopped in the NBA. I think Joe Mazzulla is the best coach in all of sports.
He's probably the best coach here.
I mean, I would
locally.
I would put him. I think I go Mazzulla Wooden. That's how I go.
Wooden. I'm talking about guys that's still alive.
Curtis, you were going to do that as a lead the other day, were you not?
Yeah, I was going to say that the coaching power rankings in Boston go Mazzulla, Mayo,
okay,
Cora, Monty.
Really?
Yep. Yeah.
You have Mayo up at number two already.
He's at this point. He has overachieved the roster.
All right.
Alex Cora has pooped his pants in the second half the last several years.
I'd agree with that.
Obviously, Cora and Mazzulla each won, but Cora has fallen off since he won.
Right.
Plus, there was a little scandal that occurred. So I would go Mazzulla, Mayo, Cora, Monty, and then whoever the female hockey coach is for the ice hockey.
But when you put Mayo at number two, you're saying he's done the best that he could have done with the roster that he has.
Right.
You don't give Alex Cora the same pass on the roster.
Right. The Red Sox over-under was 77 wins, something like that.
Yep, that's correct.
And they won, what, 81 or 83, something? The Patriots have not been favored in any game, and they've won three. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, plus he had Jacoby Brissett thrown down his throat.
All right. We'll continue with They Said It. Do you have more left?
Yeah, I got one more left.
Okay. We will get to that coming up. Courtney has the news coming up at 7:45. And speaking of Courtney, here she is now with What is Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI. Trending Now brought to you by the 99. The Celtics started out slow, but made sure to put anyone that was questioning them in their place with a 139-114 win on the road in the second of a back-to-back last night against the Nets. Jason Tatum was one rebound away from a triple-double, 36 points, 10 assists, and 9 rebounds for him. And we talked to Mego yesterday about the physicality that other teams have been presenting to the Seas in every game. Tatum was asked about how they're responding to that. Here's what he had to say.
That's how teams try to combat our speed and our skill, be more physical, up the pressure. So for one, we have to be strong with the ball. I think just moving with more pace, we allow that to make us stagnant, then we become a shell of ourselves. But if we play with purpose and pace, it usually results in a good possession.
The Bruins are in Dallas tonight to take on the Stars. Puck drop at 8. And yesterday, the Bruins recalled defenseman Jordan Osterley from Providence after Hampus Lindholm went down with a lower body injury in Tuesday's win. Good Thursday night football game tonight. Commanders at Eagles kickoff at 8:15. And Greg, I think I'm going to ask the audience today, our friends, the listeners, to give me my bets.
Oh, well, those who are not in here during the break would not know that the Parlay Playboy has been instructing you when it comes to your nine-leg parlay.
I got a great nine-legger
for tonight's game. I don't know that I would take his advice because the Playboy has yet to win a single parlay.
That's all right.
Not a single one.
Yeah, well, you don't have to win and give
advice. Not a two-legger, not a three-legger, not a five-legger, not a 12-legger.
Well, I always go big, though.
So I don't know why you are jamming your parlay down the throat of our coworker. I don't feel like...
Because she says she wants to go big or go home.
I understand.
So when you go to the guy that knows about going big...
I want to go big, but I want to win.
Well, I mean, I got the perfect nine-legger for you.
Just remind me, you have not won a single bet this season.
Not one. I've been close, but I haven't won yet.
Okay. Idea? Should we get the listeners to help Courtney build one?
Yeah.
Wiggy has his, and we'll see which one gets more legs right tomorrow.
Yes, I think we can do that.
All right. We'll head to the 99 restaurant this weekend for a three-course prime rib dinner. Enjoy a slow-roasted prime rib, two sides, and a free three-course meal upgrade. Available Friday and Saturday after 4 p.m. and all day on Sunday. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here is Curtis with your weather.
31 degrees, feels like 24 out there. Afternoon high in the low to mid-40s.
Well, I must have been called delusional 20 times last night at Wine Watches and Wheels, Curtis. For my belief in the Red Sox.
I like how Courtney says it. DeLulu.
DeLulu.
Yeah, DeLulu. Because I somehow believe that the Boston Red Sox are actually in on Juan Soto.
Yeah.
But Curtis, in his
lead, I'm with you on that one.
In his lead this morning, Curtis said that that is a ridiculous way to look at life.
I don't think it's a ridiculous way to look at life. I would just say that John Henry has changed how he operates his business, and that's his... purview. He owns the team, but they are not getting Juan Soto. Not happening. Nice thought. I hope I'm wrong, but not going to happen.
Well, the visit is going to occur this week. It could be occurring as we speak. And so...
Maybe we should have our own John Henry call in and let us know what he might be thinking.
Maybe we should. I mean, does he even go on the visit at this point? I mean, he's got a lot going on.
He was spotted out there by some podcaster, which I question the organic nature of the photo, but he's out in the West Coast.
Okay.
So.
I mean, it's... The caller yesterday was probably right about the Mets, where Steve Cohen is going to pay whatever he wants,
This might be just a homer take, but you speaking about how he is a lifelong Red Sox fan, loves the Red Sox,
Curtis
loves David Ortiz.
He says that's ridiculous.
I think that's got to...
That we even believe that.
No, and I think...
I understand.
Then why don't they have Ortiz out there representing the team? Oh, be a part
Ortiz
of the meeting.
Ortiz is a very busy man, I mean.
Yeah. I think
probably
he'd do it for a couple bucks.
He probably reached out to him and said, Juan, hey, listen, it's really going to come down to the money,
Right.
And I think ultimately... Are the Red Sox going to be, first off, what's that number going to be? And it seems
it's going to be pushing 700, correct? I mean, at the very least, $600 million.
I would agree with that.
Okay, very least.
So that's where you're going to have to play ball in that ballpark. the Mets will be willing to do it. Are the Red Sox willing to play ball at $600
the
million?
Yankees, are the Yankees able to do that? They're pretty stacked when it comes to payroll.
Yeah. I mean, but the Dodgers, for some reason, they're in on it, and they're pretty stacked. So it seems like in baseball, as long as you're willing to go above the luxury tax or whatever it is as an owner, you can have as much as you want. So let's see if the Sox do it.
This is Ryan in the car. Hey, Ryan.
Hi, good morning, guys. Just wanted to follow up on the Juan Soto take. Personally, like, as much Juan Soto is a great player, not say anything wrong about that. But I feel like with the infield, like going after like someone like Vladdy Guerrero might be better for us because we have a developing Wilbur Abreu, Duran, who was an MVP candidate for part of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel that with the injury history with Cass, will he be able to go through a full season? Will he be able to, help us come to the postseason? So,
yeah. I mean, this is the baseball Brett argument from yesterday is that you're putting all of your eggs into one basket and you're giving a guy $50 million a year and it's one guy and you have to address pitching and you have to address that. But you can do all those things. You just have to spend the money.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Dodgers. They do all those things.
Correct.
So it's like you said, it's about spending money. And if you want to, even the Yankees do it. They signed Aaron Judge. They just re-upped Garrett Cole. So they got a pretty chunky payroll.
And I loved Brett's take about I think this team wants to get guys that can win and are young, and they're going to bring them up in the system. But I've been told that for so many years, and the Red Sox have shown me over and over again that they have young guys that they bring up through the system, or they get young guys that even get better through the system, and then they trade them off. So I don't want to hear that the Red Sox want to bring in young guys and keep young guys, because they don't. They've showed us that over and over again.
I mean, I guess the argument when it comes to Juan Soto is the length of the deal, so we're back to that again.
Right.
And
but he's so young, though.
14 years or whatever he wants. Like, who cares at this point? Like, just pay it out like you're still paying Manny Ramirez out. Like, who cares?
And to the people who, like Ken, would bring this up, like, who signs big deals? These teams fail. Look at the Yankees. They haven't won since 2009, whatever. Well, the Dodgers are a super team loaded with bloated contracts, and they just won the World Series in 5 games.
This is Alex from Shrewsbury. What's up, Alex?
I kind of agree with Ken, Chris. I mean, look at the Yankees. They signed Giancarlo and they signed Judge. And what have they done? Nothing.
They were in the World Series.
They just got
Alex.
To the World Series.
Yeah.
How many times?
This year.
Well, I mean, the Red Sox can't sniff the playoffs, so that'd be nice.
It was a month ago.
When was the last time the Yankees missed the playoffs in consecutive years?
I mean, the Dodgers are paying Mookie, they're paying Shohei, and
Freddie Freeman. That's the better blueprint because they've been in the World Series two out of the last
four
years or something like that. But they've been consistently in the mix. Right, it's whether or not your team is in the mix, and the Red Sox haven't been in the mix in a long time.
This is Nate. Hello, Nate.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
Nothing much. I'm looking at this whole picture and everything, and like Curtis said too, this is a time, enough's enough. You got to spend, just like Robert Kraft, seeing the situation it is. If these owners are not willing to invest in their teams, why should the fans invest in them? Like, if you're not giving me a product, why am I paying you my hard-earned money where people are working 2-3 jobs to go see your product?
Yeah.
But your product sucks. Start spending. Like, enough's enough. And if these guys don't want to go ahead and spend the money, these owners, then you know what? Get up the schneid and sell your team and bring in owners like the Dodgers and Washington Redskins. These guys that are going to come in and bring something new and actually start spending money to put, butts in the seats again and make these fans happy.
The Celtics, look at the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
They've had two giant max deals that they had to do.
Right.
And they don't even take a breath
No.
when doing them.
Right.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. And listen, they can, like the Celtics, right? You guys have talked about it. I mean, everybody can't be like Greg Hill and sit on the floor seats. But, you know, these people that actually spend the money, you know, up in the upper deck, they're like $300 a piece to go see these. But they're willing to pay it for a product.
Yeah. Yeah, I just... And call me naive, ignorant, an idiot like you always do. That's fine. Like people were doing last night at Wine Watches and Wheels. But I think that it is possible that John Henry is feeling the pressure this particular season, Curtis.
More
than ever before.
So they raised ticket prices again, and they didn't make the playoffs. And he will. Do you think John Henry will conduct a single interview this offseason with local media?
Probably not.
So then what's changing, Craig? I mean, come on. Like,
all right.
I hope I'm wrong, but he's not going to change, sadly.
He may not change, but I think his philosophy on going after a big-time free agent will change. Like, he might not speak to the media or do other things like that, but signing a big-time free agent this offseason, I think that's going to change. I don't think he's going to go down the route of, you know, they sign guys and we're like, who? Yeah, I don't think that's happening again this year. Even if it's not Juan Soto, I still think it might be like a Pete Alonso. It'll be somebody that you'll be like, you'll feel confident in the Red Sox when they, you know, make these acquisitions.
860 texter, I do not want the Red Sox to invest in only one player. And that is probably, that is the issue, is that you're going to put all of your eggs in one basket.
It's true.
There's so much you can do there. Like, it's really.
I got 10 other rejoins in my head right now.
Would the Red Sox start playing one on one?
Hit me, baby, one more time.
I'm telling you.
I want one shot of gin.
All he ever wanted to do, Curtis, his entire life was play for the Boston Red Sox.
Yep.
All it takes is one swing of the bat.
That's right, man. All right. Well, I don't know. For some reason, I know I'm a sucker. They have me in, though.
They got me, too. I believe they're going to do something.
All the MLB insiders are talking about how they are in on this one. This is the one. Like that.
They're not even in the top six favorites to land him. What are you talking?
Passan said they're in the top four.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm telling you where people's money is. How did your son follow the election results?
He was wagering on it.
Betting results. Betting market.
Yes.
Just trust it.
So what? Where are they at? They're
like seventh or eighth.
Yeah. Well, Wiggy will probably parlay that up.
I'm going to parlay them in the Patriots. Massive offseason. Massive.
You're going to tease the offseason into a 12.
Huge parlay.
I just Googled it. The odds I see, Red Sox are fifth.
Okay.
All right.
Working our way up there.
Right. Climbing up the ladder.
Hey, real quick, speaking of last night, we had an unbelievable event, our annual Wine, Watches, and Wheels event at the Auto Salon of Ernie Bach. And Ernie has called the show this morning with an announcement about our next event. Ernie, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Boy, you know, I'll tell you, the money you guys are slapping around with what these players make, it's mind-blowing. It's unbelievable.
This dude, Juan Soto, is gonna sign a deal for about $700 million, which is...
Is that over like 5 years, 10 years? What is?
It's probably about 14 years.
14 years.
Yeah, 12 to 14.
14 years. Yeah. Wow. Crazy.
But you know, I mean, there are tax implications here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, which I'm sure your
government takes off.
They want their money.
They do. Listen, great event last night. Thank you for hosting us. We appreciate that.
What was that new car that was unveiled last night, Ernie?
Well, it wasn't new. It was a 1976 Maserati Kamsen, a very rare car that was introduced in the 70s. And they're basically all those performance cars in the 60s and 70s were all smashed up. So it's tough to find one that wasn't totaled. So it's a really great vehicle.
It took 5 years to restore that vehicle.
Almost 5 years, four years and change. Yes.
Wow,
that's incredible to me. So somebody is working, and they're working on it theoretically every day, and it takes 4.5 years to get it to where it was last night when you brought it up.
Right, because it's all metal. There's no Bondo. Everything that was replaced is metal. Yeah. And also, that's when Citroen owned Maserati. So it's got all this crazy equipment in it that you have to find, which is very difficult.
How much would a car like that go for?
Well, here's the thing about those vehicles. You can restore them to, you know, winning caliber, but they never, like, now they're not worth the money you put into it. You have to hold them for, they're almost like Bitcoin. You have to hold them for a while the market comes up on them.
We have our annual Toys for Tots broadcast coming up, and it's a little bit early this season, correct?
Right, December 6th, but it's our 20th anniversary.
So we will be at the Bach Ferrari store, which is on the Auto Mile in Norwood, where we are every year on Friday, December 6th. And I just wanted to, I know Ernie wanted to call and give everybody a heads up. The Marines will be with us, and we'll be celebrating the season by collecting toys. So I hope you'll come out. I hope you'll find the time, if you can, to go out and get a few toys and drop them off that morning. We'll have all the stuff, Ernie, food and presents for everybody and all that stuff.
Santa will be there. Yes. And because it's our 20th anniversary, and because of the way things work legally, you should come and be there. Because it's our 20th anniversary, there's 20,000 reasons to be there. It's going to be amazing.
Wow. Oh,
you got Courtney's attention.
Yes, she did.
So 20,000 reasons to be there that morning in person.
I'll be there. Early.
On December 6th. All right, Ernie. That's
all right. Thank you.
Okay.
Wow. That was basically what your wine basket cost for Ernie.
No, I don't think it was that much.
Yeah, it was up there.
It really wasn't. So. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break. We will get to the news with Courtney next on a Bruins Thursday. Mike Milbury coming up on today's show at 9.
It's time for...
I rise today to recognize a specially crafted food that draws people from across the country to my hometown of New Haven, Connecticut. It is called Abiz.
The news.
It's not no bad pizza. New York pizza sucks. Connecticut pizza sucks.
It does.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
The new line on Ultimate. Sorry, let me try this one more time.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com on WEEE.
What do you think they would say if I stood up when I walk away?
Joe Biden and Donald Trump met yesterday at the White House, both men promising a smooth transition between administrations. They seemed very chummy.
Yeah.
They seemed like...
Joe Biden looked very happy to have the former president there at the White House.
I will say Joe Biden looked very happy and Donald Trump seemed very mature.
Yeah.
Both of them handling the situation with grace. Here's a bit of the meeting.
Well, Mr. President-elect and former president, thank you, Donald, congratulations.
Thank you.
And looking forward to having, like we said, a smooth transition. Do everything we can to make sure you're accommodated, what you need. And we're going to get a chance to talk about some of that today. So,
good.
Welcome.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you very much. And politics is tough, and it's, in many cases, not a very nice world, but it is a nice world today, and I appreciate very much. And a transition that's so smooth, it'll be as smooth as it can get, and I very much appreciate that, Jen.
You're welcome.
Do you guys have friends that when they swear, it's awkward?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel when Trump speaks kindly. Did that make sense?
Yes, you don't expect it normally.
Like, it just comes across as so bizarre.
By the way, Wiggy, not a faux fireplace.
Oh, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, me too.
You can hear that.
In the Roosevelt room, that is a legit fire.
That was roaring.
That is legit.
Crackling fire there. It's,
that is a real one.
That's very nice. And that's good.
Yes.
Smooth transition when it comes to power.
I do have a question, though.
Yeah.
Like, why would they invite a fascist to the White House?
I don't know. That's a great
question. Seems odd.
I mean, it shouldn't really matter who's in office as Americans. Like, you should want that person to do well and win.
Yes,
like,
yes, of course.
But, you know, obviously we don't think that way. So I'm glad that they were able to do it that way of making it smooth and, you know, like you said, Courtney, I think
class
and grace on both ends.
Yep.
All they need is a big giant TV over that real fireplace.
That'd be nice.
And things would be cooking.
Who's the head back there? Is it there? Who's that head back there? I'm always interested.
On the mantle?
Yeah, I might go in that direction.
Oh, that's looks like Robert F. Kennedy.
Oh, is that who that is?
I think so.
Yeah, that does look like.
Like I think that's Robert F. Kennedy there.
Courtney hates his son's voice.
Oh, I did. I don't. It bothers me.
By the way, he's going to fix the food. I don't know if
I have heard that.
That's good for you.
He's going to make America healthy again.
That'll make some of your anxiety go away.
Yes, yes.
That he's going to fix the food.
Yeah.
So, all right.
A man in New Hampshire was arrested for shooting at a tree in the woods with 9 different guns.
Mm. Oh, is that a crime?
Well, he's now looking at charges for reckless and disorderly conduct.
Okay.
It didn't seem like it was in the appropriate area to be doing this.
All right.
Here's Lieutenant Justin Doty talking about the arrest.
He came upon an abandoned vehicle. He heard what he believed to be gunfire, which then caused them to request the assistance of multiple other agencies until they could figure out what exactly was going on. Upon setting up the perimeter, they were also able to learn who the individual in question was. So they were able to make contact with him by phone, also using the PA system on the cruiser to call him out of the woods. He was shooting a small tree in the ground around the tree.
Hmm. Well, I mean, a guy trying to get...
You
got to
go deep in the woods if you want to get some practice.
Yeah. Target practice.
Yeah.
I mean...
You can't do that.
Yeah, you got to go deep
in the woods. Hikers out... I mean, I did think it was New Hampshire, live free or die, but I don't think that you can be just out there willy-nilly shooting at trees.
9 weapons.
Right.
Seems like an arsenal.
Yes. Yeah. We have a new inductee into the Pervert Teachers Association.
Oh, okay.
Jesus, haven't they taught you these things in school?
What things?
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents...
We were meant to be, I know it. How else could sex be that incredible?
Pervert Teachers Association.
That is appalling. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
Okay, it's been a while.
Yeah.
But school remains in session.
Yes.
And so do some of the teachers, apparently.
Yeah.
They got a sesh going.
Yep.
Who's today's Pervert Teacher Association nominee?
43-year-old Colleen Jo Moderico was a middle school teacher in Los Angeles until she was arrested last Thursday. If you're watching on Twitch, Mitch has a mugshot of Colleen. She's been charged with 5 felony counts of lewd act on a child under the age of 14, 2 felony counts of lewd act on a child age 14 or 15, and 1 felony count of furnishing a controlled substance to a minor. Moderico allegedly engaged in an inappropriate relationship with the boy when he was 13 in 2023, and it continued to when he was 14 this year. She allegedly provided him with weed. She had sex with him in her car. She said that she was addicted to him like crystal meth.
Jesus.
And her next court date is set.
Honestly, what is wrong with these people?
I don't know.
Like, it's an absolute epidemic of epic proportions.
Where was this when I was growing up?
I don't understand.
None of these stories.
It's nuts. Was she married?
Yes, mother of 2 young children.
Wow.
I mean,
not so.
It's so true, Wiggs. Like, when I was in school, the teachers were like your grandparents.
Yeah, they were butt ugly.
Like, there was nothing sexual about any teacher I ever had.
No, not one bit.
It's also confusing. She pled not guilty, and she's due back in court November 26th, but she's out on bond, bail, one of the two.
Yeah.
And obviously she has been ordered to stay away from the 14-year-old boy.
Yeah. Do they have to stop Snapchatting, or can she keep doing that?
No, I think that is off the table.
Nice.
Probably no phones for her.
And if it did happen back in the day, generally it was like older men teachers like diddling. Now it's like everyone we see, 90% of them, 95% of them are like women.
Are women. Yeah.
And also a strange way to put it to someone who likely's never done meth. Like, what would the kid know about meth?
But she's saying basically that was her excuse for her husband and the authorities was, I'm addicted.
Yes, addicted
to love.
Addicted
to
him.
Sounds like.
God.
Wow.
Gross.
All right. We got to take a break.
Okay.
But we will get to the rest of the news next. And never mind Tupac or Biggie. I want justice for Peanut and Fred. But mostly I want justice for Peanut. That is coming up next.